1676. King George III of England hired foreign mercenaries to wage war against the American colonists. They plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. American patriots inspired their colonial brethren to take a stand against such tyranny. They believed that all men were created equal, and that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On July 4, 1776, the 13 United States of America, in response to England's oppression, declared independence.
On this long weekend where we celebrate the 4th of July, I thought it was good to remind us that this holiday is not just about cookouts, parades, and fireworks, but actually is celebrating our country. And I think, you know, that was a feel-good piece, and I think that's important because, frankly, there is so much negativity in our country right now, and as you just watch us beat up on each other, and just, it's sad, and I think we need to remember. We need to be at a point where we feel good about our country. And the hard thing about that negativity for me, I mean, is some of it is legitimate. I mean, when you look at some of the things that are going on, you think, man, you know, we need to speak up to that. But I also want to, again, on this weekend where we celebrate our country, I think we need to be reminded of the fact that it is still possible and important to show honor and respect to those that have it coming. I mean... honor to our founding fathers and those that made that ultimate sacrifice so we truly could be here today and not worry about the doors getting busted in and us dragged off to jail. Honor to our military and even honor to our government. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke on, preached on a sermon that was called Stop Complaining. And if you missed that, I'm going to encourage you, go online, listen to it, download it on your phone, listen to it again. Make it a regular ritual. I think that's an important one. But one of the premises that I made was that we are to look different than the world that we live in. We as Christians are charged to live differently than the world around us. And I think today's sermon kind of fits in that same area because the Bible calls us to give honor and respect. And it's for a number of reasons. Number one, it's about obeying God. Again, I'm going to show you that he called us to give honor and respect. Number two, what I just said about looking different. We live in a culture now that disrespect is the norm. And you know what? If you feel it and you don't like somebody, have at it. You know, you can speak and get on social media, spew whatever you want to. So we as Christians need to take that high road and to show a better way. And then, third, I would just argue, I think our country and culture needs a heavy dose of honor and respect because we don't get enough of it. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 13, and I'm just going to be reading the first seven verses. That's found on page 923 in your pew Bibles, if you're so inclined to follow along. Starting with verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who have resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive approval. For it is God's servant for your good. But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is a servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only because of the wrath, but also because of the conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, busy with this very thing. Pay to all who is due them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. So for me, when you look at the scripture, verse 7 is where it all boils down to, right? Paid all who is due them, taxes to taxes, revenue to revenue, respect to respect, honor to whom honor is due. So here's the thing. Pay to all what is due them. Now, if you're like me, how many of you like owing anybody anything? No, we don't. We don't like the fact that we're on the hook for anyone. Now, look, the taxes and the revenue, this is just the cost of being an American. If you live in this country, you're going to be a law-abiding citizen. You're going to pay taxes. Revenue, guess what? If you borrow money, guess what? God wants you to pay it back. No way, shape, or form does God say, hey, go borrow a bunch of money and then just, you know, screw the person that you borrowed from. So that's that first part. Now, again, you want to live off the grid? Have at it. You ever met some of those people? You know, running a generator, don't pay taxes, kind of live on their own terms? That is your right as an American. You want to go live somewhere and not pay taxes? Have at it. But if you want to drive a car, guess what? There's license and all that stuff. Anybody got your plates for this year yet and that wonderful Michigan tax going up? Our roads are so much better now. Okay, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm talking about honoring, and there I go. All right. But so we get that point. But for me, when I looked at, as hard as paying taxes and revenue is, you're just stuck. The harder part for me is that second part, right? Respect where respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. Because here's the thing. Whether you like it or not, there are people that you owe honor and respect to. And it is very clear. This is one of those verses. There's not a lot of interpretation needed. That God intends you to pay it. So who are the people we are at honor? You know, are we supposed to just honor and respect everyone? We know the Bible talks about loving our enemies. Is this a pad that it's just everybody? No. And I think we see in these verses, it gives us a hint who those people are that we are to pay honor and respect to. Look at verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. So, who are we give honor and respect to? Those people in your life that God has placed in authority over you. Authority. And not only that, we see this second part that God himself is the one who instituted authority. All right? So just that idea. So honor in this section of verses are attached to the idea of governing authority. Now, as I read through that several times and as I was studying for the sermon, I also noticed that, you know what, struggling with authority must not be anything new. I mean, again, everyone sitting here, maybe some of us way more than others, has struggled with some authority figure or figures in our life, and some maybe you still are now. But we see two reasons why this idea of submission to authority and honor come into play, Romans 13:5. Therefore, one must be subject not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience. Wrath, guess what? People in authority over you have the means. I mean, the Bible even talks about the sword, you know, to the extreme. But they have the means to what? Enforce their will on you. Don't pay your taxes. You think it's going to catch up with you? Eventually? Oh, yes, it will, right? Because the governing bodies have the ability. And here it's talked about wrath. You ever met with an IRS agent? They don't seem warm and fuzzy, do they? Wrath might be a harsh word, but they are very serious about their job. So wrath, the authority over you, stay out of trouble so you don't incur their wrath. But also because of why? Conscience. What does this mean? God has told you to subject yourself, to submit yourself to that authority that he has given over you. It's conscious. Are you obeying what God has told you? Right? And as we don't, we know if we're living in a way that we're not conscious, the guilt and all that stuff that comes with that. So, I mean, two blaring examples of why we need to submit and then ultimately honor those that are in authority over us. But I think whenever you're given a discussion like this, I think there are people that are going, but what if? What if that leader is a no good, dirty scoundrel? What if they're just, let's just put it out there, what if they're just wicked? Do we really believe that God puts wicked people in roles over us? Well, biblically, you look at Pharaoh. I mean, there are times, and the Bible says, his ways are not my ways, and I mean, you can argue that. But the other thing I think when we need to, specifically looking at Romans, this is talking about authority as a whole. This is not talking about individual, specific people. Who was the author of Romans? Paul. When he wrote this, do you have any idea who the emperor was? Nero. You know, if you don't know about Nero, you go Google him. He was wicked, he was evil, he was crazy, and yet here Paul is writing and going, look, subject yourself. So this Bible is talking about the authority as a concept, not necessarily specific who the president is or who people are in specific roles. God instituted this idea of authority because he knew humanity without any authority where it would go. But here's the other thing we have to understand about authority. There is a hierarchy that goes with it, okay? Scripturally, we even see a couple of examples where people went against, the disciples went against authority. Look at two examples from the book of Acts, 4:19. And they're talking to the Sanhedrin, who was not only leadership, but also the religious leadership. Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in God's to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. 5:29, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than human authority. So, as long as the authority over you is not going against God's authority, then what is this telling us? We are to place ourselves and to give honor and glory under that authority. It's when that becomes an authority over us that goes against what God is commanding us, that's when the rules change, right? So if you sit there and you look at the authority that God has currently placed over you, what's the list, right? So the first one, I think that when we talk about governing authorities, the first thing we talk about, and the first ones that come to mind, is the government. And the things that I talked about really, I think, apply here. That idea of, by and large, our American government is not forcing us to do things that are against God's will. Now, they have made laws that we as Christians might not agree with, right of life issues, marriage issues, and different things. But are they forcing that upon you? Because I have a little bit of issue, and if I step on your toes, you know, we can discuss this later, with Christians that totally bash everything American because, again, there are laws and legal things that we as Christians should not and must not participate in. But do you throw the baby out with the bathwater? Do you chuck the entire thing? Because I'll tell you, if you look at globally as Christians, even as rough as our country is, it is still incredibly way better off than the majority of other countries out there. So I think we have to be careful when we toss all of the government, when we lump all of this government thing and we just bash the entire government. Again, there are times and places and things that our government, and if the government, I would tell you, and I've said that, you know, if the government ever said, you know, Pastor Todd, you're going to perform this gay marriage or you're going to go in jail, I hope a few of you will visit me. I mean, that would be, and I don't see us getting there, but as time goes by, who knows? You know, you're called a bigot or whatever. I don't think we're in that neighborhood yet, but that's the only place when man's law tries to oversee God's law where you have the right not to submit yourself to that authority, and then the honor and the respect thing gets a little tougher. But so the government as a whole, we need to, I think, again, respect it. God placed our government over us. And again, humans like we do, we mess it up. And we blow it, but by and large, I would say our government still has an incredible amount that we should honor and respect and really see as a gift from God. So besides the government, what other authority does the Bible tell us? Because this is as much about honoring and respecting as it is to subjecting. Ephesians 6:2-3. honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. What is the first? There we go. Yeah. Are you paying attention? Your dad wants you to pay attention. You're welcome. Tristan, you paying attention? All right. What's the first authority figure that you remember? It's your parents, right? When you're this big, the U.S. government doesn't mean anything to you. It's that person when you take the extra cookie that slaps your hand and you go, there's something amiss here, right? And so this idea of authority, and again, this is one of those verses that just puts it out there. And for a time, we understand that parenthood, even though I tell my parents, and you've heard me say this, is a lifetime sentence. When I become an adult, then the whole subjecting kind of comes into a question. As adults, as kids become adults, they have to choose their own way. But I don't think that the honor piece really falls away. And it's like, for me, it's kind of like the government piece, because I know there are those of you that have had had terrible parents. Maybe wicked is too long, but maybe it fits. I don't know all of your story. And so we see this scripture and you're thinking, how in the world can I honor them when they did all this stuff? And again, it's that government. We can honor that, you know what, they gave you life. As hard as that is, we can, because of what God has called us to do, and he calls us to do hard things, that we can honor their position as the person that helped bring us life. No, we don't have to honor or respect any of their actions, any of the things that they have done, but there's something different because look at these next two verses, because there's a negativity, all right? Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. Again, the Bible doesn't explain what that cursed is, but I can guarantee it's not a positive thing. Proverbs 20:20, if you curse your mother or father, your lamp will go out in utter darkness. So this is what God is calling us to. Whether it's easy or not, as we honor our parents, again, and we respect that position, then our hearts are different toward them. Because here's the thing. Whether someone's done you good or bad, the Bible's pretty clear. Your feelings and love for them and how you're praying for them shouldn't change, even if they are a parent that's an enemy. And I know that is incredibly hard and difficult, but if we trust God and we continue to allow him to do a work in our hearts, we can get to a point to honor them, respect them, and care for them, even if they've done terrible, terrible things. God calls us to a higher standard. And this idea of your lamp will go out in utter darkness. We as Christians, just like I said 2 weeks ago, we're to be what? We're to be lights. We're to be salt. We're supposed to look vastly different than the world around us, right? So this idea of your lamp will go out, it's exactly what, that spiritual light of Christ that should be shining about you. When you're disrespecting your parents, guess what? You're looking just like the culture. Those things affect our Christian being when we go against God's word. So honor our father and mother. Who else are you to honor? A couple more verses for you. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. Let them do it with joy and not with sight, saying for those would be harmful to you. 1 Timothy 5:17-18. Let the elders who rule you be considerate, worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain, and the laborer deserves to be paid. Yes, this feels a little self-serving, but you need to understand that there is a form of leadership and government in the church. Your church leadership, myself included, have been placed in authority over you. Some of you might like that, some of you might not. And here's the thing. There are too many Christians today that are church hopping because here they sit in the pew until their pastor says something to them that they don't like very much, even though it came right from the Holy Spirit to them. And what do? They leave. They go somewhere else. Instead of sitting under the authority that God has placed them under. And here's the thing. Those scriptures said, it's for their good. God doesn't want you to just sit right where you are at in the faith. And sometimes it means someone pointing out aspects of your life that God doesn't want anymore. And so when we run from this authority, it doesn't do us any good. And guess what? I said this a few weeks ago. If you leave one church to the next, guess what? You're bringing your junk with you. Because the stuff that God challenged you with goes with you. And so that idea of authority, church authority. And not only that, God has placed he has me wield this authority. This is an absolute authority. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God, is useful for teaching and reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We must continually put ourselves under the authority of God's word and God's leadership. We can't run from it. And then we need to make sure we are giving honor and respect where it's due. So we have government, we have parents, we have pastors and church leadership, and with the Bible. Here's another relationship that I believe constitute the idea of authority and honor. 1 Peter 3:1-2, wives, in the same way, accept the authority of your husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by their wives' conduct, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Verse 7, husbands, in the same way, show consideration for your wives and your life together, paying honor to the women as the weaker sex, since they also are heirs of the gracious gift of God, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. I wanted to read those two verses together because I want you to see that idea that, again, honor and authority seem to go together. Now, the first two verses, what? Give the husband that role of authority, and I've preached on this before, so I'm not going to go into the depths of that, but I'm just going to leave that, wives, it is your task by God to honor the authority placed over you and your husbands. And I know they're human, so they're not always going to be honorable. They're not always going to do it right. They're not always going to be perfect. And yet, your task, especially, and it points it out, look, even if they don't obey the word, even if they're not someone of the faith, you need to, by your actions, show them Jesus. But then when we look at verse 7, it flips right back around. And so, husbands, we're not in authority. Our wives are not an authority in our wives. But the Bible tells us what? Paying honor. So it's a two-way street. Your marriage must be a place of mutual honor and respect for one another. It's not just good common sense. God is telling you to do this, to honor each other. And then why? Well, look at that last phrase, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. Here's the thing. When we do not live the way that God intends, it affects your spiritual life. I'm not saying that God sits up there and will only listen to you when you strictly obey him, but when we don't live in accordance, we step away. We're the ones that step away. God doesn't move. God is always there, but that idea of not honoring one another hinders our prayers. It hinders the process. We need to pray in God's power. We need to be with him. We need to be in tune with him. Sin hinders that process. And then finally, I think, you know, we have the ultimate authority in our lives. I don't know if you picked up on it, but every song we sang pretty much this morning talked about giving honor to God. The Bible is full of this truth, so I just gave you a short sampling of it. Psalm 29:2, ascribe the Lord the glory, do his name, worship the Lord in holy rays. So we see that idea, do, meaning it's, again, it's an authority in our lives that we need to pay for. We need to pay that honor. We need to pay that respect. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And so in the physicalness of who you are, you are to bring God in not only what you do with your body, but your body. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all you produce. We are to honor God by what? Giving back to him. And that idea of the first of all you produce, there are too many people that are giving and trying to honor God with their leftovers. It's clear. The Bible tells us that we need to honor God with our first fruits. Give back to God first, and then the rest. Psalm 107:32, let them extol him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him at the seat of the elders. You want a verse against those people that say, I don't have to sit in church to be a Christian? There's another one for you. God intends us what? To be together, to bring honor and glory to him. Yes, the other 6 days of the week, you need to be in worship and walking and giving God honor and respect. But there is something that happens when we come together. And then finally, the catch-all verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, whatever you do, if you want a verse that challenges you this morning, this should be the one. It is telling you everything you do, you should do it for what? The glory, to give God honor in that. That means that everything in your life you're doing, you can wash the dishes to the glory of God. You can pull weeds to the glory of God. You can clean a toilet for the glory of God. Why? Because it's here, right? It's in that act of submission and worship and seeking Him and not having a bad attitude to the glory of God. So when it comes to giving honor, have we missed anyone? Nobody wants to say it, huh? Nobody wants to say, what about me? Right? Doesn't our culture say, bring honor and glory to yourself? Funny how that's not scriptural at all, right? Here I'm telling you, you need to honor your government, your parents, myself, your spouse, all that stuff. What about you? Matthew 23:12, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Though we are called to give honor, seeking it for ourselves backfires. The only thing you need to be seeking in this life is God and more of God. Be in His Word. Because here's the thing. If we are seeking God and we are trusting Him and we are obeying His Word, then He will honor us. He will bring us up. And frankly, that's as good as it gets, because that honor can't be diminished. When God honors you, that's what we're seeking for. Here's the bottom line. It's the verse that we started. Pay to all what is due them. And here's the thing. Even when I was preparing this sermon, this idea of giving respect and honor doesn't feel like a big deal. Of all the other things that God has called us to, this one seems pretty minimal in some respects. I mean, especially in a culture that, you know, like ours, that really you have the right to disrespect anybody that you don't agree with, right? The First Amendment. How many people say something absolutely terrible and then they pull that, hey, freedom of speech card? You are a Christian. I don't believe that you have the same freedom of speech as your average American. Why? Your rules are different, right? We have to love our enemies. We have to show honor. We have to show respect. We are called to look differently than those around us, because it matters. Showing honor and respect matter to God, it matters to your faith, and it matters to your witness. As a child of God, you are called to live differently than the world around you. Give honor where honor is due. Give respect to where respect is due. So where are you lacking this morning? As we prepare ourselves for communion, is there a place where you need to confess? Is there a place or someone that you have not been giving their honor? You've not been showing respect? This is a clean slate. We celebrate this because we're reminded what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's a way to come and receive refreshment of a new clean slate where we can receive God's forgiveness and go out there. This is not a sermon to beat you up on. It's a sermon to remind you, again, you are called to a higher standard. Live it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for all that you do. We thank you and praise you for the truth of your word. And Lord, you've called us out. When you come into our hearts and minds, the Bible tells us you make us a new creation. And this is another one of those places. Lord, it is so easy. There are so many things out there that it's so easy to disrespect and to just speak our mind and to tear things down. And yet, as we're reminded of this morning, honor is something that you expect from us, and honoring that authority that you've placed over us, Lord. So if any of us have a bad attitude against someone, I would just ask that you would really just be working in our hearts and minds on that we would trust you, that we would be seeking you, and even during this short time of communion, Lord, just meet us in our hearts and minds. Help us to break free from it. Help us to give it to you, and that we would receive your forgiveness and goodness, and we can walk out of here different than when we came in. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your love, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.